So there's some things that I'm thinking about in grade school and high school, and this is a very serious subject. The degree that bullying sometimes happens. A number of years ago, I heard the experience of a young man at Grace Reformed Episcopal Church in Collingdale, PA, who at the time was attending middle school in the public school system of Philadelphia. This young man had to carefully plan and time his route in between classes to avoid the bullies who roamed the hallway and beat up kids and stole whatever money they had. It's kind of hard to keep your mind on your studies when the threat of violence is constantly hanging over your head to the point that you have to time it just right, whether you hit or miss a confrontation. Fear, panic, and insecurity can easily dominate you, and any yearning for learning and study has been crushed under this type of atmosphere. This young man and his parents were relieved when they finally could get their son into Christ Academy in a safe learning environment where he no longer would be bullied. This morning I'm going to be focusing on Christ's humiliation and exaltation for us. And this is such good news because Christ has defeated enemies a lot bigger and more dangerous than any bully we will ever encounter in school. God the Son left the glory of heaven, was born into this dangerous world that we live in, and he came down for us. And every aspect of the life of Christ was certainly not for his benefit, but for ours. So our first point this morning is by Christ's humiliation and exaltation, he tasted death for us in order to free us from the fear of death. Hebrews 2, 9, 14, and 15 say this, "But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." Christ's humiliation consisted in not only in him becoming human, but most vividly in the humiliation of his death on the cross of Calvary. We must look at the death of Christ through the lens of God's word. Otherwise, Christ looks like he was not only just humiliated, but utterly defeated. However, it is through the lens of God's written word in Revelation that we see Jesus obediently submitting himself to death, even death on the cross, and then he was crowned with honor and glory. Jesus himself said about both his death and resurrection, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord only to raise it up again." Despite what it looks like to the natural eye, Jesus was crowned with glory and honor by God the Father because the Lord obeyed his Father's will, including him saying yes to crucifixion. Our Lord willingly laid down his life for us on Good Friday, only to take it up on Easter Sunday as he was raised from the dead. God took the cross, the sign of eternal shame and death for Jews and Gentiles alike, and turned it into a new church with eternal victory and life, and shared that with the rest of the world. This same Jesus who died and rose again is now ascended into heaven and is known to his people through his word and by his Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit works in us to convince us of the truth of the gospel. Furthermore, Jesus Christ will return majestically at the end of the age to drive away everything that has exalted itself against God and his authority and establish his dominion for all eternity. He delivered us from shame and fear. Satan uses both shame and the fear of death to distract us and to burden us for the entirety of our lives. But Jesus came to rescue us from shame and fear. He has overcome all these enemies, including Satan, shame, and death. Shame and fear are two tools in which Satan tries to hold us in bondage. Our text says that by the grace of God, Christ might taste death for everyone. The purpose of Christ coming to earth and taking our humanity upon himself is to save, redeem, and rescue us. The significance of the verb to taste means to experience something. In this case, Jesus experienced death in order to overcome death. And so he tasted death for everyone that we might know his grace and mercy. Secondly, by Christ's humiliation and exaltation, he brings many sons to glory. Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings." Notice that in the beginning of this verse, we have another statement of Christ's divinity. God is the source and purpose of all creation. And so we can say of God, from whom are all things, and through whom all things exist. And it says that about Jesus, because Jesus is fully God. The hymn in verse 10 is referring back to Jesus in verse 9. So it is true that Jesus Christ, through him are all things, and from him are all things. These things can only be truthfully said because Jesus is fully God. And so the redeemed people of God are described as sons, not in their own right, but by virtue of their union with Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten from the Father, and through whom God is well pleased. So it is through our union with Christ through faith that we are sons of God by adoption. And through faith in Jesus, and we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to call God our Father. The spiritual union of these sons with their Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, means that even though our salvation is not final and complete yet, our own glorification in heaven is as good as realized. Elsewhere in Ephesians 2:6, the Apostle Paul says that God has already raised us up with Christ and made us sit with him in heavenly places. In Hebrews 2:10, the phrase, "in bringing many sons to glory," shows that the completion of this work of salvation is so certain that we can be regarded now as having been brought to glory, to this wonderful consummation in the eternal state of God's final kingdom. And so Christ brings many sons to glory, even though you and I are not there yet. In God's ordained plan, it can be spoken of as already being done. In this process of bringing many sons to glory, we also see some further benefits that Christ does for us in this process. Hebrews 2:11 says this, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father." He sanctifies his people by means of his death. The sanctification spoken of here is wider in our normal use of the word sanctification. Usually when we use that word sanctification, we're pinpointing that continuing work of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ. But the writer here is referring to the entire work of salvation from beginning to end, from new birth to our glorification. So we are sanctified as we're given new life in Christ, as well as our ongoing living in Christ each day as we renew our dedication to God's will. until that final time in sanctification in which we either die or Christ comes to bring us home to glory. Jesus engrafts us into the family of God by his sanctifying work for us. Redeemed by the death of the incarnate Son, the people of God are purified from the defilement of sin and declared righteous and holy in God's sight. Even though we still sin, God declares us holy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ taking on humanity and being perfected through his sufferings is the basis of being called Christ's brothers and set apart to God. Jesus Christ also helps us in some very important ways. The passage has already spoken of the death of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2:17 says this, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Jesus became a merciful and faithful high priest as he made propitiation for the sins of the people. This word propitiation means that by the death of the Lord Jesus, he has fully satisfied God's righteous judgment against our sins. God is the righteous judge, and his holiness must be satisfied. And it is satisfied by the once and for all offering of Jesus Christ for us on the cross of Calvary. The only one who can appease and satisfy God's judgment against sinners is one who is holy and without sin. And Jesus fulfilled this in his holy life, death, and resurrection. It was specifically, though, his death that made satisfaction for our sins. His holy life was the prerequisite for his death, and his resurrection was confirmation that he was God's chosen one to bear our sins in his body on the tree of Calvary. Jesus helps us by his death for us. And what a help that is, because we are helpless to help ourselves. Christ as the God-man is fully holy and most merciful. And so this passage speaks of him being both a merciful and a faithful high priest. It is through our identification with him that he died for us. He was the one who was always faithful in doing his Father's will, including his death, which made propitiation for us. But Jesus' death also helps us and gives us strength to overcome temptation. Hear the words of Hebrews 2:18. "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Our Lord knows the reality of our tribulation which we suffer. He was tempted with sin in every way that we are and much more. Yet he was never overcome by sin, not once. Jesus, by his life, always obeyed the will of the Father, and he's seated at the right hand of God for us. Right now, make an intercession for us, so that each time we're tempted, we can draw upon our elder brother, the only begotten Son, to give us strength to say yes to righteousness and no to sin. Yes to holiness and no to sin. This also means the Lord Jesus, never gave in to wickedness, and he is there interceding for us. And so he gives us the power to fight and overcome temptation. These two realities, the forgiveness of our sins and power for godly living, are tremendous ways in which God helps us by his grace and power. He is the faithful and most merciful high priest. And so we need to go to him in every stage of life, in that hour of our need, when we absolutely know we need him, and even those times where we think we're coasting. because that's at the time that we're coasting that we're most vulnerable. May God give us grace to live in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, both in his humiliation and in his exaltation. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, work in us by your word and Holy Spirit, so that we may truly live our lives in conformity to your image, that we might be an icon, an image of Christ. Help us to be shaped by your holy will. Help us by your Holy Spirit to cooperate in this work of dedicating ourselves to you in thought, word, and deed. These things we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.